Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
When your ovaries start decreasing the amount of estrogen production that they make and this hormone that controls your reproductive cycle, you know that there are some side effects, things that happen, hot flashes, weight gain, insomnia, but all these things can also contribute to emotional and mental issues. My guest today is Dr. Diana Bittner. She's a board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and a certified menopause practitioner that has been delivering babies all night. So we are going to give her some of our good positive energy so she can get through depression in menopause. Now, Dr. Bittner, because you're so smart and you're such a great guest, tell us about women and how often you see women that really start to slide into true depression versus just, oh God, my belly fat, my God, I hate the way this looks, as we start to change.
You know, it's a really common complaint. What's so interesting is that running a busy menopause clinic, one of the most common presenting complaints or symptoms is, I don't feel like myself. I'm not functioning well at work. I'm not functioning well in relationships. I just don't feel good. It becomes a real issue.
So how do we know that it's really something that we need to be worried about? And then what can we even do about it? Because a lot of us don't want to go on some kinds of medications, and people hear about Xanax and Prozac and they think, just one more medication that I'm going to have to take after the age of 50 that has side effects that you hear about on the commercials.
Exactly. And I certainly will prescribe those medications, but when I do, it's with a clear plan, clear expectations. And as with a lot of things, I go back to the physiology, right? So I think about brain chemical like money in the bank. And serotonin is the brain chemical that most of us girls depend on. And we make it when we sleep. One of the first symptoms of perimenopause is poor sleep. Maybe you wake with a hot flash or a night sweat, and then it's hard to get back to sleep. So when we're not sleeping, we're more likely to have mood disturbance because we're not making enough brain chemical. And then genetically, some of us just don't make as much as others. So we're more prone to PMS or postpartum depression or perimenopausal menopausal depression. So for a lot of women, it really is a brain chemical thing. And then as our estrogen levels go down, there's a lot of data that's proved that we go through brain chemical quicker. So one of the options is to sleep more and to take care of ourselves.
Oh, I love that option, because I really am a napper. And when I'm feeling just totally fatigued, totally out of it, totally, I just can't even think straight, I lie down. And I even told you today to take a nap.
You did.
Because I'm a firm believer, because when I get up from whatever it is, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, I take that nap, I get up and I can finish my day with a good high energy and I feel better.
Yeah. And I really talk to people too about unresolved conflicts or stress. The more unresolved conflicts or stress we have, we spend brain chemical to think about them, right? So what to wear this morning didn't cost a lot of brain chemical for me. For right now, my clothes are fitting well. But let's say I gained 5 pounds on vacation, my jeans don't fit. Ugh, I'm stressed. That causes brain chemical. What if my kid's in trouble? What if my parents are sick? What if, you know, people lose their jobs or have relationship stuff? It costs a lot of brain chemical to cope. So the more things we have on our plate, the more brain chemical we use up, the more we're likely to have a mood disturbance. So midlife tends to be a time where all this stuff comes together. We're not sleeping. Our estrogen goes down. We have more unresolved things. We're worried about other people around us. And so then it comes out that we might act happy on the outside, but on the inside, we don't feel happy.
No. So when it's brain chemical and these hormones are cruising around our systems, what about other behavior things? So sleep and sleep hygiene, so, so important. Where does nutrition and exercise fit in?
Well, for example, everything's a vicious cycle. Night sweats can be triggered by being overweight, by eating too much sugar. So just by avoiding the things that trigger night sweats, maybe we don't have a night sweat that night, maybe we sleep through the night, we make our brain chemical, so that helps. If we're exercising, we're more likely to have the endorphins and we're better self-image, so maybe we're able to cope with our stress better. You know, everything comes together. And I came up with a thing called the seeds, or the 7 essential elements of daily success. And basically, the more of those habits that we do, the better we are overall, including our mood. And, you know, as a woman, as a physician, I'm telling you, estrogen maybe isn't all that bad for people. I know you know, we don't maybe like to take more medicines, but I think that the bad side of estrogen has been maybe overblown in the media, and for some people, it really can make a good positive difference for their mood disturbance in menopause.
Okay, so estrogen and kind of retaking that. What other things? Because we also hear about some mood things you hear about on TV and testosterone and creams and things. And what do we make of all of those things that are out there?
Well, all those things, again, can have a role. It's so important for us women to have a one-on-one conversation with a certified menopause practitioner. And they're in every city across the country. It's finding people who really know the science behind options. And we're all so different. One testosterone might work for one woman, for another woman, it's not going to make a difference, and maybe for her it's not safe. So it's looking at safe options, starting with lifestyle, starting with diet, nutrition, exercise, sleep hygiene. But then when people still aren't feeling themselves and it's not functional, to go to the medical options. And when I prescribe hormones or testosterone or estrogen, I go for FDA-approved products whenever possible. So when I prescribe estrogen, it might be bioidentical, as in identical to what our ovary used to make, but it's FDA approved. It's meter dosing. So I tend to avoid the creams and the potions and the stuff from the compounding pharmacy. The only thing I might prescribe from a compounding pharmacy is testosterone because it's all I've got. And there are ways that I can use it that make me feel like I'm being safe for the patient.
That's excellent, excellent advice, Dr. Bittner. Now, when does possible behavioral therapy come in? Because if it is true depression, and it's something that you're really grappling with, but you need someone to talk to, if you're on these medications, and how important is that and that support system when you're screaming at your spouse because you're having mood swings? They're not exactly the person that wants to sit down and say, how are you feeling about that?
Exactly. So thank you for bringing that up. It's huge because a lot of us react out of fear, and it doesn't even relate to that person or what that person has said or done. It's our own stuff that triggers a fear reaction, and it can just cycle downward. I've had patients who have come to me and say, thank you for sending me to counseling that I could work through issues that maybe were old-seated, but now they've been brought up by me not sleeping and me not feeling like myself, and I tend to go to fear mode quicker, and then it's caused a rift in the relationship, and then I lose the support that I once had. So counseling, cognitive behavioral therapy, imago therapy for relationships, it's all so, so important. And again, I love it in the system that I work at Spectrum Health. We have an entire team around us. So wherever you are, it's to look for a team that will support you, a hormone specialist, a primary care doc, a psychologist, you know, to have that whole team to support in the ways that you need and to be really smart. Again, just about looking at every aspect.
Well, it's true. You have to look at the person as a whole and look at sleep and look at diet and look at nutrition, look at exercise and mental health and even some of the alternative or complementary yoga, meditation, any of those kinds of things. So in just the last minute, Dr. Bittner, and you are such an amazing guest, and we're going to have Dr. Bittner on a regular basis. So if you have questions for her, you can send them to melanie@radiomd.com. Give us your best advice about depression and starting this change in life that we all have to go through without much of a choice.
So first of all, don't think you have to live with it. It does not have to color the rest of your life. There are so many options. Some include medications, some do not. And so don't think you have to live with it. It's not just a part of aging that, again, to repeat myself, has to be lived with. So ask for help. Have a support group. Don't be afraid. And then to remember that positive outlook and future that can happen in the future. And again, ask for help. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep, get up out of bed, drink some water, go to the bathroom, just sit out in the kitchen, breathe for a couple minutes, settle your system down, and go back to bed.
That's great advice. This is Melanie Cole. Listen to us every day at 11 a.m. Central. We have such great information here. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.